Are you ready?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Around the CFL podcast. Anthony is here back with you once again, and we are right smack dab in the middle of the CFL Combine, which is currently taking place in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Things are looking pretty awesome. If you're following it, check it out. They have started to live stream now as well, so you can check out some of the action and see what's going on. I definitely would. And speaking of some awesome action going on, today's guest is one of the greats. He had an amazing career in Calgary with the Stampeders, did a little time in Hamilton and Toronto before hanging up the cleats, and now he is doing amazing work developing skills with younger kids and athletes in this game of football. He is from the Big Time Players. He is Keon Raymond, and he is going to be here. We'll be right back, and we're going to be sitting down with Keon. Today, we have a true legend joining us. He is a two-time Grey Cup champion, two-time CFL All-Star. He has played in the NFL, the AFL, and a legendary CFL career. But it's what he has done since retiring that is truly special. I work with him with his amazing program called the Big Time Players. It is my honor to have Keon Raymond here today. What's up, Keon?
What's up, Anthony? I appreciate it, man. As you guys know, I call him AP. That's my nickname.
Yep.
Yeah. Not sure how many people call you that, but man, I like it, man. AP.
It is you and Dickinson in Calgary.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's good. Okay. No, but thanks for having me, man. I apologize it took so long to get on, man, but I'm excited, man. We're here, man. And, you know, I've heard it, man. You've been doing an amazing job with it, man, from the start. And so I'm honored to be on, brother.
Thank you so much. So from St. Louis to Tennessee to Calgary, Alberta, when did the love for football first start for you?
For me, you know what? I think it was, you know, probably when I was around 4 or 5 years old. You know, I had an uncle who played. My dad coached my little league team. It'd probably be Adam in St. Louis, little Pop Warner. And then my mom was like the cheerleading coach. So it was always kind of a family affair. But my uncle, he played quarterback for one of the best high schools in St. Louis called Sumner High. My wife attended Sumner. It was called the Bulldogs. And and just watching him play as a kid, I learned how to get into a 3-point stance, and that was just kind of all she wrote, you know. And so that was all she wrote.
Were you always corner defensive back?
No, I started off as a quarterback.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I was a running back. Then I moved to quarterback, and then I always kind of had the ball in my hands too a bit, you know, and I slowly got on defense because, you know, in the States, man, kids play both ways, and you get a chance to play offense, you get a chance to play defense. You're really just learning one side of the game, and so nope, man, I played both ways. I didn't mind tackling, and I was a huge track guy. My mom, she ran track. And so she made sure all of us ran track. So it's hard not to put the ball in your hand when you grew up in a track family.
Fair. You went to college at Middle Tennessee State as a mm-hmm. Blue Raider. You made second team all Jayhawk Conference. What was mm-hmm. the college experience like for you?
You know, for me, you know, coming from a junior college and then going to a Division I school, it was a big transition. You know, most kids, whether they hate to see, you know, having to go to a junior college, like the junior college I went to was Highland, then going to transferring to Middle Tennessee. You know, it's tough, you know, junior college. But then to get a chance to see the wide openness of a Division I school, Middle Tennessee, the locker room, the weight room, class, you know, they give you meals. so no, it was to me, it was tough. Because me, I was coming in different though. You know, I came in whereas, you know, I had a kid already. You know, Keon Jr. was born already. And you're talking about a college kid trying to study, you know, juggle school, football, and being a father now. And it was one of those things where, like, I'm new to it, man. And, you know, I didn't make the best decisions at times, but I made the best out of it, you know. And so, but no, it was good. I think the biggest thing was the hunger. When you're in junior college, everybody wants to go and play Division I football. But everybody's mindset isn't built to go play Division I football. And that's what I try to tell our kids here. But when you get to, you know, Division I Middle Tennessee, we're playing against Alabama, we're playing against Vanderbilt, Florida, you know, NC State. Those guys are playing to go to the NFL. You know, some of our guys in Middle Tennessee, we're playing to make sure, you know, we can get to the league. But you know, I just wanted to graduate college. I wanted to make sure I graduated, you know, and that was a big feat for me. So
What did you take?
I was a business administration. So yes, I was a big business guy. You know what I mean? I didn't know what I wanted to do with business. I just know that I needed to learn it, and I think that was kind of the thing that everybody kind of pushes towards. You know what I mean? Because I love history. I would have been a history major, but you don't make a lot of money in history major. Being a history major, so you know, I do history on my downtime. But no, it was all business for me.
It's combine season right now. What was your experience like in regards to combine testing, and how hard it is right now for, for today's kids to be going through that process?
Yeah, you know what, man? It is. I think it's all in a preparation. It's in your mindset. It's in the preparation that you do. I think the biggest thing kids need to do, especially preparing for the CFL combine or the NFL combine, is you got to have a good team around you. Like, this is no longer, you know, college football. Like, this is a business now. Like, this is when you're stepping into, so from your trainers to your nutritionist that you have on, to your agent, like everybody needs to be on the same page. And then you have to do your work, and that's preparing for the combine. You know what I mean? Making sure that your numbers are good, that you run fast, that, you know what I mean, you're healthy, pulling up to the combine. You know, I've seen plenty of guys, you know, during our combine and pro days, you know, guys weren't healthy, you know, because they weren't doing a lot of the right things. And so, especially for guys who are playing, like, you're no longer playing collegiate football, but you're not playing pro football yet. So that window is that, you know, you have to figure out what you need to do on your own, and seriously, how serious you about it. Because a really good combine, man, can put you in the forefront of so many different people and push your name up high in the draft status, where, you know, a poor combine could do the exact opposite and put you down, and you know, and no matter how well you can play. So, and I say, tell the guys, man, just make sure you get a good team together, get a good group of guys who are trying to aspire to do the same thing that you are, and working out, and you know, that's holding you accountable, man, and you know, and give it your best. And like, that's one thing, AP. Like, I love the combine, but then I hate it because numbers shouldn't define the player. You know what I mean? Because if you could play, you can play, right? You can play, you can play. You know, and sometimes I've been on teams where guys test out the roof, like the size, they're tall. They're strong, they can run, you know what I mean? But you put them on the field, they don't have a clue what's going on. You know what I mean? Have a clue what's going on. You get those guys who are good testers, but then you get a guy who doesn't test well, you know what I mean? But you put him under those lights, man, and he's a gamer. Like, they can play. Just the lights come on and they understand. So, you know, that's it's a two-edged sword type deal. But you know, for me, it was just, you know, getting with a group of guys, man, and preparing yourself mentally, physically, and getting ready to absolutely give your best.
I feel like the NFL combine is kind of more of a spectacle, whereas being in Canada, the Canadian combine, especially starting last year, it's more towards the player, right? Like, 'cause like you said, film tells the story, right? In the NFL combine, they're always doing the numbers and all the big flashy lights. But in Canada, starting last year, they extended the amount of days, but they've also got more positional stuff going on and more, not only one-on-one, but group action. Do you feel like the Canadian combine, the way it's trending, is, I guess, kind of better in regards to seeing what a player can actually do?
I think it's definitely heading in a better direction. I think when you talk about the even with the NFL and there's I think they have so many different aspects of it from the Senior Bowl, and they get a chance to see guys practice and play and compete against those top levels. Where in Canada, I don't know if they have a Senior Bowl type deal where you get all the guys in to really showcase how they can do. And if they don't, then, you know, in the combine, you got to put them, you got to create that atmosphere for them for the one-on-ones, you know what I mean? And for those team activity drills and things like that. I really think that the game of football is growing, in Canada, especially when it's starting at the youth level. But you're starting to see more kids' skill development. Kids are playing a lot better. They're faster, now. And I think now it's, you know, where GMs and the CFL is like, man, let me take a closer look, at this kid, and how would he compare to, you know, a kid that's preparing for the NFL combine coming out the same year, you know. And so there's a lot of logistics in it too, but I definitely like where the CFL is heading, you know, in the right direction.
Yeah, the CFL has the East-West Bowl, which is equivalent to that in the States. So after the combine, you had a stint in the NFL Tennessee Titans, but also spent a couple seasons in the AFL with the Nashville Cats and New Orleans Voodoo. I'm a big fan of AFL and indoor, like you said, for preparation for skill development. Do you think playing arena football helped with your skill development?
Oh, absolutely, especially preparing me for the CFL. You know, that was the first time I seen a waggle, was when I was in the Arena Football League. You know, they only in the Arena Football League, you only allow one guy to waggle at a time. And so, and I played the short side, the boundary corner. And so you get one guy and he's running at you. And, you know, so you, that was my first taste of somebody running at you before the snap. And then when I came to Canada, man, it was like, oh, psh, this is easy because I'm used to the arena football field. The field was so small. But then when you come up to Canada and they're waggling, the field is so large, so wide. And I was already a fast guy. And so my speed just naturally took to it where I was able to be in and make plays. But I tell you this though, if they was to start an arena football league or get some indoor teams up here, I think it would blow the roof off. In Canada, I think it would blow the roof off. I'm telling you, I love Canada, but I would not have came to Canada if the Arena League didn't fold. I loved it, you know, I did. I loved it. It was one of those things where, you know, playing in Nashville, the two teams that I played on were owned by the NFL teams. Nashville was owned by the Titans, and the Voodoo was owned by the Saints. So I had access to, you know, back to the NFL, guys get a chance to watch you consistently. But I just enjoyed it. It was fun. It made football fun again from the business of the NFL, which it was big business. Big business. You know, it's only about football on game days. Yeah, on the other 6 days, it's business. Football one day, and that's on a Sunday. That's the only day it's about football.
We're starting to see it more now in the States, of course, with the IFL. The team in Las Vegas, the Nighthawks, is actually owned by the Golden Knights. So we're starting to see more, I guess, big money coming in and the AFL resurgence now with, the Voodoo and the Cats are back. What do you find to be the big, there's a big stigma around indoor and arena football with college players. Where do you think that comes from?
You know what? I think, you know, with the NFL shield being so big, and when I grew up, man, it was almost like your mindset is NFL or bust. You know, that's the mindset of a kid, you know, growing up. And you don't really see the different options because you see them, but you don't think those options are viable for you. Or it's like, well, I didn't train all this way just to play in the Arena Football League. But as you get older, man, and you play and you stay in the game long enough, the goal is to play football. And if you enjoy playing football, like you find ways to play football and opportunities to play. Because within those opportunities, man, opens up more opportunities. Because for me, you know, if I'd have been like, you know, once I, you know, stopped playing with the Titans and then it was like, no, nah, man, I don't want to play arena football, you know, I don't make my way to Canada. do this way. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, but for me, I just enjoy playing the game of football. And whether it was on a 50-yard field or a 110-yard field, you know what I mean? I was going to enjoy playing in that scope of arena because that was just always a passion of mine, no matter what the rules were, how big the field were, how cold it was, or if we were playing an indoor on turf, you know. So I think so for some young kids who really love to play the game of football, who want to play the game of football, I mean, you'll find a way to play the football, and it won't matter where you're playing at. Because I've always tell guys, man, you know, scouts, they do their job and they find talent, they find football players. So wherever you at, if you can play, you can play. Somebody's gonna keep an eye on you, you know. So that's why I was never worried whether I went to the arena football, because I knew I could play. I knew I could play, and I was gonna get a chance. Somebody's gonna see me. I was gonna get a chance, and that was gonna be it.
So, how did the opportunity come about in Calgary to go to play with the Stampeders?
So yeah, so funny story. So I'm in New Orleans, man. I'm enjoying it. I am. I'm enjoying New Orleans. It's, you know, then one thing about the arena football is probably why they folded the first time. So then they bring you in, man. I was making probably around $50,000 salary, and they pay for your housing. You know, they put you in an apartment. They paid all the bills. It was furnished. You had cups and bowls and everything's in there. And you had, you know, dentist, you had dental, you had vision, you had full medical. And I was like, man, there's no way I'm leaving. Like, this is a good job, you know, this is a good job. And so after the season, we finished the season, and then Coach Jones, you know, he's the Edmonton Elks head coach now. And he reached out to me. He was like, man, you know, I watched you play. I think you'd play, make a good Sam linebacker. Would you want mind coming up Canada? I'm like, man, I don't even have a passport. You know, I what is that? So, you know, I held him out for a bit. I ordered a passport and kind of got it. And I end up coming up to Calgary. I think a couple weeks after our arena football season. And so I played two leagues in 1 year. And it was unheard of. Some guys did it, because I was asking around. Some guys did it, and I ended up coming to Calgary that year, and you know, and won a Grey Cup. I didn't play as much. I wasn't mad that I didn't play as much, because football is such a taxing sport, and for me to play 15 games in an arena and then come in Canada and then play another 18 games, man, like that is a lot of football. And so I think I only played three games that year. I practiced a lot. I wasn't mad about it. But then once the season ended, you know, I had Calgary and New Orleans. You know, I get to pick, you know, which one I want to go back to. So I'm sitting in a really good spot. Calgary's bidding, New Orleans bidding, the numbers going up, and I'm sitting in the middle smiling, because you know, it's always feel good to, you know, somebody for to be wanted. And then the Arena Football League news came out that they folded. Calgary's like, we're done there. Now you got to come. So if I wanted to continue to play football, man, it was going to be a full-time thing in Canada. So which I wasn't mad about, you know, I wasn't upset about it. It was an opportunity, you know, for me to continue to play the game I love to play. I grew up playing it. So I took that challenge, and I mean, had a pretty good career.
You definitely did. And winning the Grey Cup in your first year, regardless of how many games you played or how many reps you got, it still must have been a great experience to be able to hoist that Grey Cup at the end of the first year.
Absolutely, man. Because when I came in, it was only 18. And I was like, man, we won the first year, and it's eight. Man, this is easy. We could do this all the time. Like, this is, let's run it back. You know what I mean? Like, this is easy, you know. And but you learn, you know, about the game, because this is my first time, you know, in Canada. You know what I mean? And so for a young kid, first time in Canada, like first time ever going to Vancouver and Montreal, and you seeing the difference. Like, I've never felt, I remember my first day. I remember our first day in Calgary, and they dropped me off at the apartment I was staying at, and I get into the elevator, and there's like five different people speaking five different languages in the elevator. And I'm like, what in the, I'm lost. I felt such like a stranger, man. I had no idea what was going on, you know, no idea. But you know, I slowly, you know, kind of integrated myself into it, man. But like I said, I did. I enjoyed it. I got a chance to see the love of football in Canada. Well, most Americans, I thought it snowed year round here. I'm telling you, yep. You know, we came up in July. I was like, man, isn't it snowing? And it was beautiful when I came up. And so, I always tell people when I go back home, man, if you get a chance to visit Canada, make sure you do that. You know, I was starting the summer first before you jump into
You see this year in the NFL how it's a really heavy free agency, but
winter.
in Canada, that's how it is every single year. So when players are like, oh, let's run it back, it's actually not as easy as it seems because you didn't actually get your second one till 2014. Which one meant more to you, the first one or the second one?
You know what? I would probably say the second one. You know, I really appreciated the first one because the first one showed me what it took to win. Because I got a chance to sit back on the side and you watch guys like I'm watching Henry Burris. You know, I played with Dave too. That was Dave's last year, so you got a chance to see him a bit. And you got a chance to see the pieces around and what it took to become a championship football team. You know. And I think we're close leading up into the second time that we won, but there's a lot of things that needs to go right for you to make that run. And I thought we had it in 2012 when we lost 100 to Toronto. I think that was my fifth year, and I'm like, man, like we're at the 100th. It's my first time playing in the Grey Cup, and it's tough, you know, and it's tough, and so. To come back, you know, in my seventh year, you know, playing with, you know, Juwan Smith, and Juwan Simpson, Brandon Smith, Charleston Hughes, guys that I came in my very first year when we won it the first year, like to and John Cornish to be on this journey, you know what I mean? To see to win, then to lose, to come short, and to have this opportunity to be it again. I definitely took advantage of it. I was a more seasoned player. I understood the moment. I understood, you know, the game, what we were at, you know, and it wasn't just happy being there, you know. And so, and that one too, man, I get a chance to put my name on the cup. So in 14, which was, you know, it's a blessing, you know, to all the legends that got a chance to play in this wonderful league.
You had a lot of really good years in Calgary. Then you went to Toronto and Hamilton before calling it a career. What made you decide to hang up the cleats?
You know, to me, it was one of those things where I could have, you know, hung on and played for another team on a different team. And for me, it was like almost prolonging the inevitable. You know, I love to play the game, and I didn't get a chance to, you know, I would have loved to finish in Calgary, but I just didn't want to be a guy who hopped and had 9, 10 different jerseys on as I was getting older. You know, I didn't. I knew that, okay, if it's coming to an end, let's go ahead and get into, you know, what's next for me in football. As much as I enjoyed the game, and nobody was going to pay me what I was asking for anyway. You know what I mean? I think I was still in the prime of career. You know, I got a chance to break a couple, you know, Calgary Stampeder franchise records that was probably held for 50 or so years, and they may last another 50 or so years. Just how free agency is now, guys don't stick long, you know, on teams, you know, and so, but no, for me, it was one of those things where I just wanted to sit back. My kids were getting older. I want to watch them play. I want to be a dad. You know what I mean? I just wanted to start to enjoy life and what that meant outside of football.
I talked to Sean Burke, the GM of the Red Blacks, last week, and he spoke very highly of you because that's where you two met, was in Hamilton. You have a great relationship across the league and a great reputation with like everybody across the league. When football is very much a relationship base, how good does that make you feel that there's not a single person that speaks bad about you? Like everyone speaks so highly of you as a person and as a player.
Well, I don't know about everybody,
Ha
but that's kind though. You know, that's kind. You know what? To me, I try to go in and just I be myself. You know what I mean? Like, I was always one of those things my mom raised me is treat people like you want to be treated. And everywhere I went, even I got a chance to play, with Sean when he was in Hamilton. You know, it was one of those things. Hey, Keon, he was up front with me. We want to bring you in. This is kind of, what we want to do and how things look. And like, I knew he'd be a GM sooner or later. I knew it was because he's such a good dude. He understands players. He understands the game of football. He understand what goes around. But for me, man, I just wanted to make sure like my reputation and my name was always solid. You know, I didn't want to go around being a guy who did people wrong you couldn't work with, or that just never was my spiel. Like, if we got a mutual love of the game of football, I love football, you love football, there's a connection right there. So I tried my absolute best just to make sure I was me, and that's what you're just gonna get. I mean, some days you might like it, some days not. But for me, I was always one of those guys. I'm gonna be me, man, and I'm gonna be as honest as I can. But I'm gonna be also encouraging. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna be a guy that's, going to tear a team apart. And I play with guys like that, and break things down. And one of it was never about me, man. It was always about, how could, we make the team better? How could I make the team better? What could I do to help success of the team, whether I had 10 picks in the season or I had none, whether I had, 10 tackles in a game or nothing. And it was, to me, it was like, did we win? Okay, that's all right. Next page, let's go to the next one. So that's kind of the guy I was.
At great lead in, next page. So the career is over. Now the exciting stuff. Let's talk about the big time players because I get super excited talking about this. So, what is the program and what made you start it? Where did it all come from?
You know what? I think it was around 2017 or so. Just hanging the cleats up, just trying to figure out, are we gonna go back home or were we gonna stay in Canada, and just watching football. Like, I've helped coach my kids from, Adam, Pee Wee, Bantam and high school, and you know what I mean? So I've seen the different levels of football in Canada. And for me, it was one of those things to where, okay, in that business aspect started to kind of get putting that business degree together. Like, what are we missing, in Canada that could help grow the game, but also grow the skill of the game? And so I took a look at start researching some programs back home, and it was the 7-on-7 type of model, and up here in Calgary, like, kids play spring tackle football. And for me, being a pro 10 years, man, and growing up in the States, like, we've never done anything like that. And I was like, well, why are they playing tackle football? I'm trying to get the gist of why. They're doing it because I guess high school didn't have football programs at the time. And so that's kind of how they integrated it. But I'm like, you know what? Let's give kids a different option now. Let's work on the speed develop, the skill development, the foundations of the game. So you work on those foundations of the game, it grows. And so, yeah, man, it was hard when we first started. I think I had 20 kids, four of them were mine. And trying to teach kids a game where they don't understand or don't know what it is. But it was about, being a mentor to him, but also helping develop him. And even quick, funny thing too, even about the name, when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about the name, it was my wife that gave me the insight. She was like, what do you call something like this? 'Cause you just can't call it anything. It has to mean something. You know what I mean, the big thing, it has to mean something. It has to represent you. You're starting, it has to represent you, who you were and how you were as a player. And I was thinking, I was like, man, she's like, what type of player were you? I'm like, shit, I was a big time player. She's like, yeah, but also off the field too, and that's been the motto of the big time players. You know what I mean? Not just being a big time player on the field, but off the field as well. You know what I mean? It's easy to go out there and, and throw a touchdown pass or catch the touchdown catch or make the game winning tackle. But, when we're off the field, being a big time player is making sure you show up on time to class, You're helping people. You're holding the door open for somebody when you go in first. You know what I mean? It's those little things that I want to make sure that I instill in the program, and kind of hence the big time, man. So this thing is kind of taking off like wildfire, which is really, really good. I couldn't imagine. Like, my purpose was to, when I retired, was to grow football in Canada. That was my goal, is to grow football in Canada. Whether people remember me or not afterwards, I could care less. I think I've done, started to do my part of growing the game of football here in Canada.
So what exactly is the 7-on-7 game? Because I mean, everyone's used to 12-on-12 and all the positions. So positionally and stylistically, what is the 7-on-7 game?
So what the 7-on-7 game is, like, you have seven defenders. It's based around the American football game. And so with flag being integrated now into the Olympics, it opens up a really big span for 7-on-7, especially for a lot of the kids in the States who do this, where up here we play a lot of flag. Everybody's kind of get used to flag, has been down there for a while. But for kids who play tackle football, who enjoy tackle football, flag football, like, there's a difference between the flag football, which you're reaching to grab the flag where your eyes is not focused on tackling. And so when kids translate that to tackle football, that's when you start to get the grabbing, and reaching to tackle and not running through. And so what the 7-on-7 game does, it allows players to focus on the skill, understanding concepts, coverages, reads. So what it does do, it allows players to compute, all right, get that mind processing. Okay, if I got a cover two, these guys are moving, windows, especially as a quarterback. Now I can hit him if the safety's high. I can throw the ball low. If he's low, I can throw the ball high. So it allows players to really access themselves. And honestly, man, it's fun. The first time that I played 7-on-7, we were at the University of Illinois. And this, I'm in high school, my senior year. Our coach took us down. They had a 7-on-7 camp. And I was like, man, like, this was so fun, so much fun. Like, I could not believe how much fun that I had. It wasn't just pickup football. It was fast football. It was competitive football. I mean, and it showed guys who could play. You know what I mean? And you could make a catch at any moment in time too. So, but it's one of those things now, where it's like, quarterbacks now, the reps matter. You know what I mean? Reps matter. Like, 7-on-7 allows kids to get reps, coverage reps, receiver reps, quarterbacks get throwing reps. Like, the reps matter in this game, because football is a physical sport. It's physical. You know what I mean? You can't, that's why you only play one game a week. And I think it's bananas that, some of these kids, they'll go and they'll play in a tackle football tournament and they'll play three or four games on a weekend. You know what I mean? I would never let my kid play in that, something like that, man. It was just like, we did that. He did that once for the Calgary Bantam Selects, and it was just a, to me, it was just a, it was, it wasn't good. And as a pro, and I watched, and I think they're doing, I think the motive is right with the Selects program and what they're trying to do. I commend those guys for trying to put something like that together. And they only do it for a short time. I think it's for a weekend that they go and play. But you have some men are just having kids play tackle football year round. They're playing 15, 16, 17, 18 games, man, which is ridiculous. But like the but the 7-on-7, man, it provides skill. It provides that skill development.
What are the seven positions on the defense?
So how we categorize the positions, we'll come out with maybe two safeties. We have two corners, and I try to convert, with us being in Canada, those two inside positions as halfbacks. Just the exact same way we'll run it in the Canadian Football League. So when our kids understand, all right, these are my two halfbacks. Now in the States, they'll call them a nickel and a dime. All right, just those two positions, and then we'll have a linebacker that sits in the middle, as well too. So those are the seven positions that you have on defense: a free safety, strong safety, a left corner, right corner, and the two halfbacks, and a linebacker that sits in the middle. Now on the offensive side, you got five receivers. I mean, you got five receivers, you got one quarterback, and so it's six. So you basically have five on seven, in the game when you're playing, which our quarterback has to really understand coverages, learning how to read, move your feet, and knowing that those throws have to be on point. But yeah, it's the exact same thing, man. Like if we were to do this in Canada and by the Canadian rules, it'll be an 8-on-6 still. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, you know what I mean? So just the field smaller, you only playing 40 yards. And there's I think there's you have to get a first down, three downs for 15 yards to get a first down. And kids love it, man. Like to see the joy on these kids' face and how they play. Like I'm telling you, this is the wave.
So on the offense, only can how many players can move?
So like I said, you only do the American game.
Yeah.
So, you only one person can move at a time and they can only move laterally. They can't run to
Okay.
the front of the line. All right. So, it's just almost like the exact same in the flag football, whereas, you know, in a 7-on-7, there's no rush. So you have 4 seconds to throw the ball. So we take it off a tee and the quarterback has 4 seconds to throw the ball, which I absolutely love. Because I've seen, you know, some kids here and in Canada where they're at a Adam or a Pee Wee and just the lines aren't that good, the offensive line. And there are kids that are learning how to play football and it's tough to teach them how to block and stand some in front of somebody. And so they get the ball and then as soon as they get the ball, there's four guys running right at them. So they don't even get a chance to look downfield before they start running for their life. So for this, you know, for a kid who's 12, 13, you sit back and you get a chance to really now practice on the mechanics of throwing the ball now and seeing what an actual coverage look like instead of just taking it and coach say, just throw it to that guy to the left as soon as you get the ball. And now you get a chance to see why I'm throwing it to this guy to the left because the corner is high and those guys are not coming out, you know. And so it helps these young kids mentally prepare in the game and to just process the game faster.
So with one person moving, only 4 seconds to throw the ball, shorter field, it is very much like arena and indoor football, really, when you break it down like that.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, the thing is, it allows, it, like, kids have to process so much faster now. You know what I mean? Which now they get to themselves. Now, my break has to be faster. My awareness has to be faster. Everything has to speed up now. And if you don't train like that, you don't play like that, you know? And so, with the training and doing a 7-on-7, it allows these kids to move, process faster, understand. And so, when they come back out to this Canadian game, the game is so slow to them now. So the game is slow. And when they come back and it's like, oh my goodness, like this is way too slow. Like I'm getting out of a break, beating a guy across the face, boom, I'm catching, I'm going, and he's still in his back pedal. You know? So
So the 7-on-7 game is getting a lot bigger, like you said, in the States. There's guys like Emmitt Smith and Richard Sherman who even have teams. And that's just to name a few. I know that there's tons more of NFL legends that are down there doing this exact same thing. How big is that need here in Canada?
Oh man, it's huge. Like I know there's a couple guys who started a team or club as well. I know the guys out in Vancouver, G Roy, Simon, Jordan Lennon, Paris Jackson, those guys started the Game Ready out in Vancouver. And then there's a really good crew out in Winnipeg called Recruit Ready. Brad Black, he's a guy, he has Adam Big Hill. A lot of those guys come out and help a bunch of the Blue Bombers. So, and they do a really good job of helping kids go back to the States. And even my buddy out east in Ontario, you know, Phil Edworthy, you know, he's been doing it for a while with MVP. Guy who coached at you know CIS U Sports Football. But the game of it, you know, it's guys that understood it, that kids who want to play and try to play down south, they have to understand what those the mechanics, that speed and that competition looks like. Like I had to tell my players the first time we went down, I had to tell my players, look, I say, look at here. This is a country where it is okay to carry a gun. Okay, now you have to really sit back and think about that. This is a country where it's okay to carry gun, their mindset. So when we come out on the football field, like their mindset is like, we're gonna take your head off. We're gonna come at you. And I love the Canadians, but we're so nice at times. And this would be like, we'll knock you down and be say, oh, sorry, you mean we want to help you up? Like, let's finish running our route first. Then we can come help them up. You know, but it's one of those things where, like, you really get a chance to, if you're trying to play at the highest level of football, you have to go where the highest level of players are at.
So you just mentioned your travel elite team that goes around into various tournaments down in the States. How has that travel been going, and how has that been for the progression of our Canadian boys and girls with this travel elite team going down there, seeing the style there, and coming back here?
So you know what? It's one of those things where the very first year when we first started doing, I had a really good a high school team. You know what I mean? I had kids who understood what they were getting into. They understood the purpose. They understood why they were down. But I think lately we've had kids, I think, just kind of enjoy the trip. You know, and not be focused on why we're down and, you know, the opportunities that we have to get down there. I have a really strong freshman and U14 team, and these boys go down and play. This is their third year playing together, and they see the talent. They compete well. Like, we compete well. We can match, you know, player for player with some of these teams that's down there, you know. And we win a bunch of games this past weekend. We were in Los Angeles. We were down 17-0. And to Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, his son was on this team. So, you know, sidebar, we got a chance. Yeah, we got a chance to, like, within these trips, these provide enormous opportunities for kids to meet Emmitt Smith. Richard Sherman, you know what I mean? Get a chance to meet Kyle Shanahan, you know what I mean? Like, the 49ers head coach. Get a chance to meet, we met Lendale White. The kids met Destroying, you know what I mean? So these things, like, there's opportunities that the kids have when we go on these trips. But like I said, we play just as well as they do when we go down there. We do. And we are learning the skill. The kids are getting better. And it was a struggle at first because they move faster. They understand the game faster. Things move a lot quicker. And our kids are like, it's so slow, and just our development just isn't on par with them yet. But it's getting there through our program.
You do make it fun though, because you go down there, it is business, you gotta go play, you gotta go represent, but you also do these special things for the kids. Like you take them to USC and you take them to UCLA and you take them to sightsee. So like for you to do this kind of stuff is it's wonderful because you're giving the kids an opportunity to sightsee and travel and see the world kind of thing while playing this game.
Yeah. You know what? My big thing was, when we talk about big time, you know, I want to make sure that I give these kids a big time experience. You know, some kids, you know, probably would have never thought about being on campus at the University of Southern California or UCLA, or seeing something like that, being able to meet coaches. And for me, I wanted to be able to give kids an opportunity to see those things. And if you get a chance to see those things, then you can dream about, how can I get to do those things? How can I be here? Because it's hard, you know, it's hard to say that I want to go and do this and I've never seen it. I've never, you know, and for me, I want to give our kids an opportunity to see what a Division One, you know, Pac-12 school looks like, and to walk the campus and to see, like, man, like, and I'm like, you could do this. And like, I'm a firm believer, you can. Like, you put the work in, you can do this. Like, you put the work in, you do the little things, you can do this. You can be just as good as these kids that are coming out. There's nothing different. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you do. You know what I mean? And so for me, it's trying to give the kids the exposure, the big time experience, the opportunity, you know, and to see, you know, and like, I want to encourage them. Like, I do. I want to encourage them. I want them to, these memories that they'll last, and the friendship that they'll last for a lifetime, you know. And so whether we win 100 games or not, but you know, they're going to always appreciate the experience that they have.
When did the partnership with Nike Football Canada start, and how has that helped you to propel the big time brand?
Well, man, that's, you know what, that's a blessing though. You know what I mean? That's been a blessing. Just with us just kind of coming out, just running our camps, I had a buddy of mine's reach out to me. He's like, look, man, this guy, he's interested. You know, they're looking for a football guy to kind of lead their Nike football camps in Canada. And they've taken a look at kind of what you're doing and they want to be a part of it. And to me, I was floored because I'm gonna tell you how God works. I remember our very first time when we started the travel team, and I'm walking with Bianca, my wife, and we have these. We I went to order some Nike, you know, jerseys for our boys, and I remember walking back and I'm like, man, you know what would be awesome, man, if you know this is 4 or 5 years earlier, if we had a we partner with Nike, man, and you know, and we had that thing and we go from there, you know. And I'm a firm believer, man, if you speak things into existence, and we spoke that into existence. And so what that has done, that has really given us an opportunity and a platform, especially within our brand, like you know, across Canada. Like everybody knows what a big time player is now. And we're slated to expand to 12 cities this summer, as well as they want to ramp it up, which I'm super excited about. The more kids I get a chance to meet, and get a chance to, you know, to share my knowledge of the game, of football, and also, you know what I mean, and grow the game of football. Now I'm just not just doing it in the city of where I played. Now I'm doing it, you know, in Regina, where I played there too. They don't like me too much in Regina. But in, you know, in Hamilton, in Montreal, in Toronto, in Vancouver, you know, you get a chance to share your knowledge of the game, you know, and I get a chance to pour into these young kids, you know. And that's all, I mean, I want to do whatever. And I tell the kids, man, whatever football camp you go to, man, whatever it is, give it your best, take away from what you can from it, and apply those things that you learn from there into your season, you know. So it's been a blessing though, man, to being able to come out and have the swoosh behind you. You know, those things move mountains.
Not only that, though. So, I mean, you've also gone to Ottawa because you have that partnership and that friend out there, but you're also doing the smaller places, right? You're not leaving out those little urban places. You're hitting Medicine Hat, you're hitting Lethbridge, Alberta, you're hitting Kelowna, BC. You're getting to see more kids, but they don't have to be in those major cities. You're going out everywhere. How important is it to you, and why do you want to go to those smaller centers to be able to hit more kids and reach this game?
You know what? You know, when you talk about the small guys, you know, I was a small guy. I mean, I was one of the small guys. And when, you know, you can always hit those big cities and you'll draw a bunch too. But for me, it's more about the little guy. You know what I mean? And for us to host a Nike football camp in Lethbridge, you know what I mean? Like to have the first one, and for the community to rally behind that, and for us to come in, like, that's huge. I mean, for that, you know what I mean? That's huge. Like many people don't go to those small towns and to invest in those communities like that, you know. And I want to make sure that we can bring that same big time Nike experience to those guys the exact same way we bring it in Vancouver or Toronto, you know, and they get that full experience as well. And you know, and that's what we try to pride ourselves in when we come out to the smaller cities, you know. And I honestly, man, I get so much love in those smaller cities because I mean the appreciation of us coming down is it to me is gratifying, you know what I mean. And I'm humbled by it because they appreciate you. They do. There's a lot of gratitude with it. And if a parent want to sit down and talk to me for 5 to 10 minutes, man, I'm more than willing to sit there and chat it up for football with it, you know, because at that moment in time, man, everybody matters and people matter. And I want to make sure, you know what I mean, I know God has gifted me with a, you know, and an amazing opportunity to play a game I've loved to play and to play for a long time and had the career that I've had, and to being able to come out and run these camps and being able to spend 2 to 3 minutes with a kid or a parent just to, you know, share words of wisdom and knowledge, man. How can I, you know, how can I not, you know what I mean? Like, how can I not? Like, God has been way too good to me. How can I not?
Yeah, exactly. And Since it is combine season, we talked about your experience in the combine, but you give these kids a combine experience as well in these camps. Tell us about what you do to show the kids what a combine looks like in these camps.
Yeah, so it's important, for a lot of these kids. Some of them too, whether they're super young or older, getting prepared for, university or just for their upcoming, Pop Warner season. Teaching the kid how to line up in a 40 to take a 40. You know what I mean? How to properly execute a broad jump, how to stick the landing, how to power through. Because if they're learning these small details in the combine drills, those are things that they can take and carry on when those things matter at the NFL combine, at the CFL combine. Now, like, oh, I remember this when I was at the Nike camp, man, we did this and I learned how to do it. Or and they're spreading that message on to their buddy, if they're at a different camp, So, those things right there, just teaching kids how do you represent yourself, in those camps, in those combines. I get on them too. I'm like, look, if you're waiting in line for the combine, you need to be focused on what you're going to do, not in the back chatting with your buddy, trying to see what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, coaches watch that. Like, you need to make sure that you focus in and prepare yourself, your mind, to run your best as you can, because this may be only opportunity that you have. I remember mine, I ran the 40 twice in my combine. You know what I mean? The first one I ran was a 4.38, and the next one was a 4.29. So like I was rolling. Like I was rolling. But it just, like I said, it's just teaching these kids, man, how to carry themselves when they're at camps and doing these things.
So, sidebar here, because we were just talking about, rolling into a town like Lethbridge. When you and I rolled into Lethbridge, we weren't exactly sure what the turnout was going to be, and it was great, right? We had a lot of kids come out, and it was awesome. So now we jump to the next topic here, which is, expansion is a hot button issue across Canada, right? The CFL talking about going into more teams and whatnot. But so are you. You're looking at expansion as well. What are you looking to do to expand the 7-on-7 game more in more than what you're doing now in just the Calgary market and the travel team?
Well, you know what? The plan is to try to get, us to host a couple leagues in the smaller cities. And I think it's one of those things where we can get kids out, get them playing. It's affordable for a lot of kids. You think about growing the game of football. Soccer is probably one of the fastest growing sports. What do you need? You just need a soccer ball. You know what I mean? And that's it. And so with the 7-on-7 game, because I was at we do flag football for our younger kids, but I was conflicted in which way to go business wise. And okay, how do we get more kids involved in the game, especially in Canada, where you're talking, where you're thinking that a lot of kids are immigrants and they don't really understand. It's easy to understand the soccer, but for equipment wise with flag, you got to go grab flags now. Most kids, communities don't have flags. It's barely hard enough to find a football. All right. And so now we get a football, it's easier for us to being able to manage to get kids involved. And so the goal is to being able to expand and put small leagues in towns like Lethbridge, Edmonton, do some in Medicine Hat, and just being able to have those communities play with each other. So now, I'm a big proponent of kids doing multi-sports. So in our spring 7-on-7, we play on Saturdays. Kids practice once, twice a week, but it gives kids an opportunity to, if they're playing middle school basketball, high school basketball, they're running track, they're playing badminton. You know what I mean? Like, they get a chance to do different things where they're not taking the physical toll of playing football and equipment and hitting, where it's taken away those other opportunities of playing different sports. But with the 7-on-7, they get a chance to really, they can play and continue to develop their skills. So now, I mean, you're what I like to say, you're killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly. So you know me, my listeners know me. I am a champion for inclusion and getting more women, girls, gender minorities involved in football. We have seen more and more of them coming out to our camps because, like I said at the top of the show, that I work with you in the Big Time Players. How has the growth been recently in regards to this across Canada with these camps that we're hosting?
It's been great. You know what? And I think too, one of the big hesitations from some of the parents, you know, on these trips that I've talked to about, you know, putting their little girls in tackle football is because I think they're afraid of the contact and they don't want to see their daughter get hit or tackled. But what I say to them in that aspect is start them off in the 7-on-7 because now they learn the game now. They move faster. You know what I mean? Because you can teach people how to tackle. Yeah, you can teach them how to tackle. You can teach them how, but when you're throwing, okay, you're learning the game of football. Now you got to learn how to tackle. Now you got to learn how to catch. Now you got to learn how to do this. Now you got to learn how to do that. So you're throwing five, six, seven different things at them. Oh, now you got to know this play. And how do you run this play? And you know what I mean? There's so many different things in the development of football. Whereas you when you slow it down for them and let's give them this piece. And let's get good at building this piece. Okay, now we can move to this piece now. You know what I mean? So now they're equipped to do this. And now, you know what I mean? And overall, I can guarantee you'll see an expansion of girls in the game of football, an expansion of the skill level of girls in the game of football. You know, where it's just like, oh, well, she looked like she grew up with a bunch of brothers, or she grew up around football, or she, you know what I mean? Whereas a kid who likes football, never played, but wants to, you know what I mean, she's gonna be hesitant, you know, to jump out there because, you know, somebody knocked the hell out you one time the first time. Oh no, this ain't I don't care if you're a boy or a girl.
Yep. And we've seen a lot of girls coming out that are balling out better than most boys. It's great, right? So, and it's really good because, like you said, it's not tackle. So we're teaching these young girls to come out, and it's teaching skill and the game of football, the fundamentals, in a safe, non-contact environment.
Yes. And when you could do that, like I said, my biggest thing within the game of football is like I want the biggest guy, AP. At times I wasn't the fastest, I wasn't the strongest, but what I did pride myself on is being one of the smartest players on the football field. I think that allowed me to play as long as I played when, you know, the speed didn't get to max speed as it was at the beginning of the career, or I maybe not as strong as I used to be when I first started in the season. But me being a student and being very smart in the game, just the intellect in the game, allowed me to play better than kids who were probably faster than me or stronger than me at that time because this is a chess match. I mean, and you have to understand the game. And if a kid doesn't understand the game, it's hard to play the game. I mean, you can understand, okay, if they throw the ball, they catch the ball, I go tackle them. Okay, that's basic. You know what I mean? But where are they throwing the ball at? Why are they throwing the ball there? What's the down and distance? What they throwing the ball? Like last night we had in our Rising Stars program we have, and last night I went over a social media recruitment with the kid, how to use and access social media with it. And I put in three pillars from the thing too of for the kids of like this is why we do this, you know, for when we do play tackle football or we do out the 7-on-7 game teaches us what's the pre-snap read, what's my coverage, all right, what's the down and distance, you know what I mean, those things that they check off the box. Whereas when you put a kid straight into tackle football, okay, give them the play and they're out there, they run the play, they don't understand down and distance, they don't understand situational football, all right, they don't understand those aspects of the game to where, you know, if I was telling the kid last night, I'd say, you know, scenario, if it's third second and 15, second and 15, and you're a low corner, all right, and you get a corner route and you get the outside guy runs a 5-yard hitch route, what do you play? And one of the kids say, well, wouldn't I play the low route because I'm the low flat guy? I'm like, yeah, that's your job. But situational football, where do they want to throw the ball? It's second and 15. You want to make sure that you get back. And so when the kid understands that portion of the game, all right, they can understand that. Man, they've opened up a whole new door for themselves now. And so that's the biggest thing, for it as well too. So.
It's the skill, the fundamentals, and the education of football that you're teaching. So, what's coming up in 2024 for the big time players?
Well, you know what? I'm super excited about this. We're launching we got our spring championship series coming up, and this is a host of 6 weeks tournaments that we run in Calgary. I've been talking to a bunch of teams down south in Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, getting them to come up one or two, three times throughout our tournament phase. We're hosting here first April 6th and 7th a 7-on-7 tournament at the Show Dice Dome here in Calgary. So I've invited a bunch of people to come out, even kids who don't know what the game is about. If they're interested, man, get 10 buddies together and bring a team and get in to see what the speed is like, see what it's like. It's only until when you get a chance to taste it, you get a chance to get out there, oh man, you'll love it. You'll be hooked. And so I try to push that for the next one as we get going. And I'm excited to, we're gonna slate our Nike travel schedule here within 2 weeks, which I'm super excited about to put that on the map. So everybody be on the lookout for that.
Where can they find the information?
Oh, so they can come on our website at bigtime77.com. I actually started a nice little blog on there as well. It's called Keon's Coach's Corner. And so I talk about a bunch of the things from, this past one we talked about our trip going down to the States, kind of what I saw within our players, the other players, where can we go from next, and where I see the growth of Canadian football going. So, I try to get a little bit detailed in there. I think the next one, the one I have scheduled for Monday, is a tackle football versus 7-on-7 football, and how can you coordinate the two in one arena? So,
That's amazing. And April 6th and 7th in Calgary will be both out there as well. So I'll be
yes,
up there. So yeah,
pull up.
if you want to come in and meet the weird guy that talks on this podcast, or if you want to meet the legend Keon Raymond, we'll both be out there. Keon, you are one of my best friends. I love working with you. I've loved, the last couple of years that we've gotten to know each other. You're a legend in the industry, but not just as a football player, but as a human being and as a person. I love you, and I thank you for allowing me to work with you with the big time players.
Hey, AP, I appreciate it so much, man. They say light attracts light, and you have such a genuine heart, brother, and you continue to share and your word, and you want to see the game grow. You want to be involved in the game and everything that you've done around the game, man. And so I appreciate you having me on here. And you keep doing your work, man. And I know we got some big things coming here in the near future, man. So, man, big time players, baby.
That was our conversation with Keon Raymond, one of the best human beings I have ever met. The things that he is doing with these kids and, young adults trying to do this skill development in the safe atmosphere and also co-ed, making sure that's inclusive for everybody. That's the important stuff, and that's the important work that he does. And that's why I am proud to say that I work with him as well, and I partnered with the big time players, and that's what we do. So that's it for us this week. As always, you can find us on Instagram, X, and Threads at Around the CFL Podcast. You can listen to us Apple, Amazon, Spotify, iHeart, or anywhere else you get your podcasts from. Leave those 5-star reviews. I love them. Also, start DMing me. I want to hear some show ideas. I want to hear who you think I should talk to. Let's see if we can get some different guests on the show. Speaking of different guests, next week we have got a big one. He is the new offensive coordinator of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, my boy Mark Mueller. He is going to be on the show, and we're going to be sitting down talking about all the really awesome things that the Riders are doing this year and what we can look forward to in 2024. Well, that is it for us this week, and we'll see you later.